Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, everybody, it's Michael.
This is David.
And this is David. We got a special guest on the show today. He came and he preached to us today while Keith was on vacation, Mr. Jamie Bell.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello.
So, David's got the crowd control over there. But we've tried this once before with Jamie via FaceTime, and the reception wasn't real good, so we decided to wait until we could get him here in person because we wanted it to be perfect. For Jamie. And that was David. David said we got to do it the right way. So Jamie's a dear friend of mine from way back in our childhood in Patterson. We were brothers. We played baseball together. We played football together. I played a little basketball, but that just wasn't my thing. I had two left feet when it came to basketball. But Jamie's been inspirational here lately on us. And, you know, I know from an early age, there was something about Jamie and in my relationship that we were destined to do something great. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that in this time and in this season. So, David, you got anything?
Well, that's funny. This is going to be an interesting. Our podcast, we talk about the farm, we talk about our church, we talk about our friends, we've talked about every facet of our journey. With Jamie Bell, what I can remember about Jamie Bell, the first time I met him, he was smiling. And he had an infectious smile. It's some people smile at you, and you know you're like, I don't know about that one. But Jamie Bell can't fake it. He's got a beautiful smile, and you see right straight to his heart. And like you said, in sports, I'm 2 years older, so I didn't get to play as much sports with Jamie, but I was around him. And as long as I can remember George, that's kind of what our nickname became for Jamie at the time. Everybody had nicknames back in those days, and we called him George Strait.
I think that was something that you and him had going on together.
Yeah.
George and George.
Yeah, George.
He's always been JV to me.
Because he can sing like a bird, too. I can remember him singing. And I don't, I said it the last time when we tried to do this, I don't remember the first time. I don't remember where it was. I kind of think we were both working in tobacco, and I think we met up somewhere along the trail, and you know how it was back in those days. Everybody was so hot and sticky, and you met up with anybody that would spend a little time with you. You just talk, just hang out, and I think that's probably the first time I ever met Jamie. And he was listening to George Strait, and that's where the nickname came from, George Strait. But I am glad, you know, our journeys have went in all different directions, and I'm so thankful that our journeys have joined back up here lately, and because he's still the same Jamie Bell. I have to say, are we the same? His heart's the same. You still see his love for people, and now you can hear him talk about his love for God, and that's what's truly exciting to me. He did a masterful job preaching to us today.
Yeah, for sure.
And every time I've talked to Jamie since, or listened, I would tell y'all, I don't want to steal his thunder or anything, but do you get Jamie on the telephone, you better not be in a hurry. You better not think, well, I'm going to see what Jamie's up to. I'm going to give you like 3 minutes and then, no.
And just coming from David, of all people.
Jamie Bell will keep you on the phone for a while, which is awesome because it's coming from a good place. And I've listened to him talk to me and Keith and Michael one night. We were on the road and we had a conversation on the telephone. Jamie was going through some things and I was thinking the whole time, Jamie, I was thinking there's somebody in Jamie's community that needed a message tonight.
Yeah.
Because I could just think that your neighbors, because we didn't know it at the time. We didn't know you were walking around in the yard, yeah, talking to us. But he was preaching to us, to the three of us on the telephone. He was giving us what we needed. And I was thinking, you know, dang, God, this man's going on and on. And by that time, he said, it's all right, sweetie. I'm on the phone with Michael and David and Keith. And he said, I'm in the yard. My wife's looking for me. I'm like, what?
And then his neighbor, he had to wave at his neighbor. Yeah. It's just me.
Yeah, so his whole neighborhood is listening. They have to be. And I know that's awesome, though. Yeah. That's awesome because you're living your sermon. And people that you don't see, they see you. They hear you. And that's great, man. I love it. I love it. And anytime you need to holler and talk to me for 3 hours, go ahead. You got it.
It's just a beautiful thing to have somebody to you know, just to talk to. And, you know, this journey, you know, for a lot of people is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to be anybody but myself. And God's done a work, you know, in me. And, you know, I've always had a love for people. And you guys have always been special people to me all my days, you know. And I was just thinking the other day, you know, I was like, man, we used to go to a farm, and that's where we used to hang out some, you know. We just sit in the back of the truck and just hang out mm-hmm. there. And then when we came out here the first time, I felt that. I said, this is what, I was like, this is, it was always out there football. It was dark, always dark when we would come. And it was later when we came out here, I was like, man, this feels like home.
Right there, down there at the pond.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think half of our listening audience probably said they were at the farm, or they were at the pond.
Yeah.
I don't know. All of our cousins did that. Our older cousins,
yeah,
they would migrate down to the pond, and then when it was our turn, that's where we would go.
Yeah. It's just a peaceful place, you know, just coming out here. It's just, I mean, you can just be out here and just sit and just listen to God, man, and just carefree. And it's just a pleasure, just blessing, especially like this morning. Man, the presence of God that was in this place this morning was like, man, I didn't even have to preach. I could have just prayed and just talked to God just the rest of the morning, because it was just that kind of atmosphere this morning. And you know, just sitting there, and then you can feel the people tugging at your spirit and opening up and allowing God in. And the young people this morning, that just you could feel them opening up and just, you know, Lord, work on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't got it all together, Lord. Just work on me. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it was just non-traditional. It was just God doing what God wanted to do this morning. And I was just grateful just to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, we was grateful for having you here to do it, for sure.
And that won't be the last time.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm.
No.
It's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. But I want to touch on the little girl that you was talking to right here on the second row.
Yeah.
What was your feeling? I know you was feeling something because I could see it. You kept migrating.
Yeah, she was locked in, man. She was. It was like she was wanting to just break. And just afraid to.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I really want to just give my all, but I'm kind of afraid to.
Right.
And it was like she was in a circle trying to find a corner to stop.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be she's been talked at, you know, not talked to, and she just needed God to see her this morning.
Yeah. Well, I got a message, you know, yesterday, what time service. And her mama wanted to make sure what time, and so that they could be here. And this morning, they were running late. Things getting in the way. Life was getting in the way. Things were blocking. Because something was going to happen.
Yeah.
The devil was trying to keep them away.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And for you to see it and to feel it, you had me feeling it.
Yeah. It was the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. We were because, building.
And we know a little bit more backstory. And yeah. When the Holy Spirit is leading Jamie Bell up here, and just about everything... Just about everything was spot on. I say just about everything.
Everything was spot on.
But especially for both of them. Not just one, both of them. They're talking about we all go through things.
Yeah.
We know that. But sometimes you need to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? Because they are. And we are praying for them.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't move. Man, I mean, I'll walk away and he'll just bring me.
Yeah.
You know, it'll just bring me, just the Holy Spirit just kept bringing me right yeah. back. And
well, there is a backstory to that. And, you know, we're not going to go into it right here. But the reasoning that you were feeling that was because of the prayers that we put out for that family. And I felt you... back there on Pierce too.
Yeah.
And he was feeling it.
Yeah.
The devil was running him out of here, back and two. He couldn't sit still.
Yeah.
But he's getting there.
Yeah.
He's getting there. He knows what's right.
Yeah.
He knows which way to turn when times get tight.
Yeah.
So what you were saying was spot on this morning.
Yeah. Man, we just give God praise. I mean, like I was saying earlier, it was just a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
You know, I know people was everywhere today, but, you know, being out here today was the place to be.
Yeah.
Today. And, you know, I mean, when we was leaving, you know, I was just sitting there in the truck with the wife, and she was just sitting there, and we was just, you know, just holding hands, and she began to talk about, you know, because she went over and talked to the young lady and the mom afterwards, too. And it's just a beautiful thing, man, yeah.
When the Holy Spirit's yeah, moving.
When and I mean, you try to make sense of it.
Can't.
And you can't, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just give in and just allow the Holy Spirit to do like he did Jeremiah. You know, I'm going to put it in your mouth. You just say.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, I say. Don't worry about their faces. Don't worry about any of those things there. And it was just that kind of moment. And you can see, you know, within her. And was that a mom?
Yes.
There, you can see just a bit of relief.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, man, I can breathe now. I don't have to hold this. I can actually just let it go, you know. And you can feel that in the spirit, you know, when they actually just let go. And it's good for them, but it makes you want to just weep, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And you're like, man, like, how long you been holding that, you know? And, no, excuse me, but you see people hurting, man. And you see people that are just dealing with stuff, and they trying everything. And the more they try, the more it gets worse.
When they try to figure it out on their own.
Yeah. And which, you know, highlights, you know, when the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Well, that path and his understanding ain't the easiest to embrace sometimes, you know. Right. You know, because you're so used to, you get so familiar with hurt, bitterness, brokenness, and being in that place that the Bible called Lodabar, right? A place where nothing is fruitful, nothing grows, nothing or whatever. And you'll get so used to that place to where when the season have changed now, and it's now planting season, and then someone comes to water, and then now God wants to bring forth an increase there. Now you're so used to, you know, the dark Lodabar place to where you think it's totally like something's wrong now. So you don't, something good, you find there's something wrong with it, you know? And so you do that to try to stay into that familiar place of bitterness and brokenness, and where the frustration and depression and anxieties come from is you're in that place, but you're wanting to be out of that place. But when you're out of that place, you don't recognize you're out of that place, so you go back into that place to where you can feel something.
Yeah. And that's so true. It's so true.
Yeah.
And you know, it's man, it's something. And that's why, you know, like the Lord, I'm telling you, I'm always a little nervous before I preach. There, but starting Thursday, man, it was like, man, we was getting ready to play the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be around very many people. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, when I get like that, I just kind of be to myself. And, you know, because I want to hear from God. And, you know, in the wrong person, my patience real thin, you know, during that time. And I don't want somebody to cause me to lash out or, you know, make them feel like, you know, I'm belittling or don't want to be fooled up with them or anything like that. But I just knew the day was going to be special. And I didn't know exactly what was going to be what there, but I just knew the day was going to be special. And when Mama Maurice, you know, said that she woke up this morning and wasn't in pain, man, at that moment right there, we could have just said amen and went home.
That's right.
You know, because I've talked to her, you know, several times, and the times that I talked to her, you know, she was in pain. And you know, and she was telling me how it helped her to where she just don't want to do anything. And then when she testified this morning that, you know, she woke up this morning with no pain, that ain't nobody but God.
That's right.
And so I began to look at pain even different. You know, because we look at pain as a hindrance sometimes, or an indicator that something's wrong. When I had surgery on my knees there, the doctor said that, you know, when you'll know when it really start healing on the inside, the pain is going to get worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-oh. You know. And sure enough, you know, after it started to heal on the outside. It had done scabbed over and everything on the outside and everything. And he said, that ain't going to be the problem. He said, when it heals on the inside, that's when you're going to really feel the pain. And as it began to heal on the inside, he didn't lie.
Yeah.
And I said it right then. I said, well, doc, doctor didn't lie, that this thing must be healing on the inside. And I just begin to look at the spirit and look at that in the spiritual sense of things, to where people from the life, the things that they go through in life, man, it destroys and wrecks and rips and tears them, just rips them up. And it takes a God to mend those broken places and repair those breaches there. But it doesn't be put back, or it doesn't, the repair doesn't happen unless there's some pain.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we do is we try to medicate that pain so we don't feel it. And so when we medicate it so we don't feel the pain, so now we erect a whole nother God and didn't even know it. And so now we dependent upon the medication now to be what God is to us all the time.
Right.
And so we take the medication to take away the pain, but it also affects the healing too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it fabricates a healing or a wellness for you, to where if you were to get up and go back to life as normal without having that healing to take place there, not only does it become infected, an infection, now it's a danger to the people that's around you too.
Mm-hmm.
And we never see those things there. And so that's the kind of atmosphere that we were in this morning.
Yeah.
There, to where God was taking some hurt. He dealt with some hurt this morning.
Yeah.
And dealt with some places this morning that people would have never even mentioned there. But you can't hide nothing from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil that men do. And so just moving about this, the sanctuary this morning there, man, the Holy Spirit had me everywhere. We was talking about everything this morning,
yeah.
You know. And I'm like, honey, what did we talk about this morning? Cause, you know, I can never remember. You know, once I'm done, I can never sit and say, okay, well, we did this. I can remember my text. I can remember my starting scriptures there, but I've never been the one to write notes.
Yeah.
Never. I'll write down my scriptures there, and some of them he'll allow me to use.
Yeah. He only allowed you to use one.
Yeah.
One set of scripture today.
That's it.
And he had five picked out.
Yeah.
I know, Jamie. That's what I know.
And that's you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, what's this? And so I sent them, when I sent them to you, there, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, I got some other scriptures. You know, Holy Spirit, we need to at least go over there. You know, because, you know, one scripture was supposed to lead me over here to this one, and this scripture was supposed to lead me over there to that one. And then, you know, we was going to grand finale. We was going to bring this thing to a grand close here.
Oh, it did. He did it his way, though,
yeah,
didn't he?
He did.
Even the music.
Yeah.
We had music lined up.
Yeah. Hold on just a second. How many more scriptures? Yeah. You said you got. We did one. You had five?
Yeah.
Sounds like a revival.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
see you Sunday.
You have, I mean, I'm thinking Keith better get back quick.
He better hurry up. But I had music lined up. You know, mm-hmm. I talked to Elizabeth a little bit on, you know, kind of some of the things that she might want to hear or, you know, have played. I had them all lined up. He sends me two songs this morning. We gonna make it happen. One of them was 12 minutes long.
Yeah.
One of them was 5 minutes long. We made it happen.
Yeah.
And the way that song Refiner come through,
yes,
and you started speaking at the end, I'm glad you wasn't trying to get my attention back there. Because he was working on me back there during that.
That song this morning, it just had to be all God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there. I've been sitting on my mom's porch this morning since like 7 o'clock this morning. You know, just sitting there with my Bible open and just sitting there. That's just me, you know. And I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord to just use me how he would how he would want to use me, and don't let me do anything to bring shame to his name. And Lord, don't let me do anything that Pastor Keith's going to have to come back and straighten out, you know. And, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know how this thing is going to go there. And some of the things he shared with me, he showed me, and I was a little nervous about there because, you know, when God give me a thing there, you know, I'll wrestle with it within myself. But when it comes time to say it, you know, here it is, you know. And however, you know, you receive it, you know, or if you receive it or whatever, that's just, and I that's just me. And I never do anything to try to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like right. that there. But if it's going to help there, if it's going to help them to see God, see Jesus in it, then that's what we're going to do there. And he always showed me in Scripture whatever it is he's having me to share and to say. And this morning, you know, just sitting there, just looking at the young people this morning, and I'm always weeping for the young people because, I mean, this world that we're living in, man, it's going to be something.
Confusion.
Yeah. It's going to be something. And, you know, they're trying their best, man, to take organized worship out. They're trying their best to do any and everything to keep people, you know, from being able to encourage one another mm-hmm. in the things of God there. And they're trying to get them while they're young.
Oh, yeah, there. Definitely.
And, you know, because the best time to kill anything is when it's in the infant stage. Mm-hmm. And you know, like we, you know, I'm always thinking about the seed that day, David and I, we were just walking on the outside out there, and it was the whole front porch up that was covered with seed. And David goes over there and he pick up the seed and just being David and just like, you know, it's amazing how this seed just sitting up on the concrete and never grow there. But if you take it and move it over just a little bit right there to that little bit of soil right there, it'll begin to grow. And then he says, and just kind of walks off, you know, like, and I'm like, you can't say that to me, you know, and just leave it like that.
He just preached a message.
Yeah.
He planted that seed.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there looking at him. He ain't thinking nothing about it. And I'm sitting there like you just going to just.
That's where you go stop.
You know, like Luke 8:11 said, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. There, and you just going to leave that like that there. But it's that simple, though. You know, it's just that simple. And that's the thing. That's the gospel. That's the good news.
Yep.
You know, getting people to understand that, hey, all you need is a seed.
Mm-hmm. One.
A seed, right? That's all you need. Mm-hmm. There. Let God grow you up. There.
Yep.
You know, y'all grow stuff all the time, right? There. When we came from winter to spring, did y'all tell y'all grass to get ready to start turning green?
No, we
usually don't.
No, we beg it usually to stay brown.
Yeah, your trees, you didn't tell them, hey, you know, just start, you know.
No. Nope.
Yeah, when you planted your gardens, you planted the seed, and then you ain't tell them, all right, now I'm planting you now. You got to go ahead on and produce. This, you're supposed to be squash. You're supposed to be watermelon. You're supposed to be cucumber. You're supposed to be tomatoes. You don't have to, you know, because all of the potential is in the seed already, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
And the Bible teaches us that, you know, we were buried with Christ. He was that perfect seed. He was that and if we in that likeness there, you know, if we can just allow God just to plant us where he want to plant us, mm-hmm. we won't be experiencing all of this foolery that we're experiencing everywhere in the world, because everybody wanting to be everything, and it's all about power. Everybody wanting to rule over the next person and things like that. And God said he gave us dominion over everything but of each other. There, we don't have dominion over each other. Why? Because we are his workmen.
Yeah.
There, we're supposed to work together, you know, in this thing. And it's just a beautiful thing, man. Just like this morning, I didn't know. I just texted my aunt and them and asked, you know, they was like, hey, what time service start? I'm like, I think 10:30 or 11, something like that. There, I'm sitting on the porch this morning about 9:00. My aunt and uncle pull up in the yard.
Ready to go.
They said, well, we're going to go on to the church while y'all. I said, y'all finna go on to the church. They was like, yeah. we're gonna go to the church. Your mom and dad, they ready? I said, no, I don't think so. So we're gonna go to the store and tell them we get ready. We're gonna come back and get them. and so I leave. I go tell mom, and they get ready and they leave. And then mom, when she hit a black shirt, she called back. She said, you on the way? I said, no, not yet, mom. I'm getting dressed, but I'm gonna be on the way real soon. She said, all right, well, you need to come on. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I'm on the way. And see, this is what y'all do here. This reminds me so much of my grandmother. My grandmother, you know, she been passed 2 years now. She was 92 when she passed.
Right.
And I hear y'all often talk, you know, talk about y'all granny and, you know, how she prayed and how she, you know, always talked. That was my granny. That's what she she was. And my she was that woman that, if I don't care how bad you thought somebody was, she would always find the Jesus in them.
That's right. Exactly right.
That's right.
And she was that kind of person, if everybody talking bad about them, they're, she'll find out that they can whistle real good.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's who she was. And the first time that I came home to preach after she passed, it was the hardest time that I've ever had. Yeah. Because up until she passed 2 years ago, I've never came home and she not been there.
Right.
And it was just hard, you know. And when I hear y'all talking about y'all, you know, y'all older ones and things of that nature, that my grandfather, he actually had, you know, I spent 2 years with him, you know, preaching, you know, me preaching before he passed. And, man, that was exciting for me because, you know, they knew me to play sports, and that's it. They didn't know anything apart from that. They would come to the football games, the basketball games, their baseball, you know, all of those things. That's what they knew of me. And so when I got saved, I was like, you know, it would be so cool to see, for my family to see me doing something other than, you know, that has nothing to do with a basketball or football or nothing, doing something that actually, you know, makes a difference, you know. And man, I was blessed to see for that to happen, man. And then here it is now, you know, we lost contact there for some time. And then here it is now.
Strong.
You know, all of us are, you know, we've done other stuff together. But now to do this together, man.
That's right.
To walk this walk together, man.
It's exciting.
To be able to just pick up the telephone, like David said, and call, and I got somebody that'll listen to me just go on for just as long as I need to go on. I can remember that day. I was like, man, I ain't gonna talk y'all ears off, man. I know y'all need to go in there.
David. It went for another two hours.
Yeah, David said, man, we got another 2 hours to drive, man. You okay?
And the thing about it was, there was no interruptions in cell service. And usually you don't have that.
You're right.
Coming through that area.
Yeah.
You're always going to get interrupted on the phone through there. Yeah. But that night, there was nothing. There was no interruptions.
Yeah. Man,
we want to be here to build you up. Because you've got more to say to a lot more people. And we know it's a struggle sometimes. You feel down on yourself because you don't think you're reaching the right people.
And we all do. We all get discouraged.
Yeah, we do.
But all right, let's go back to the seed and the tree. All right. Those seed come off of a tree, and that tree can produce a million seed every year, right? A million things. I mean, it's a lot. Let's say that tree, it can't pick what kind of soil the seed falls into, okay? That's why it makes a million seed. That seed can fall on concrete, okay? And if the seeds that me and you, Michael, are spreading around falling on concrete, we can't let that frustrate us. The tree doesn't pay it that much to mind, does it? The tree's still the tree. The tree's still putting forth what it's supposed to put forth, right? One of those seed on the concrete falls into a little crack, okay? A little bit of soil, a little bit of water, and that can turn into a magic tree that can produce a million seed again. Just one. That's all it takes. So
you got the rest
we can't get frustrated in that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we do. We are human, you know. And that's where we need to call each other. That's walking those fields.
Yeah.
When we're talking on the phone to one another, that's walking those fields. We're building each other up because we all hear it every day on our telephones and our on TVs and on our radios. We're supposed to hate one another. If you don't understand that, if you don't see that, you need to pray that God will show you. I don't care if you listen to Fox or MSNBC. I don't care. They're both trying to get you to hate one another.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, black, white. None of that matters. They want you to. Why? Because they can control you.
Yes, sir.
It don't matter. And we've talked about this on our podcast before. They don't attack any other religion. Like any other religion in the United States is fine. I mean, they stay away from it. They won't say nothing bad about it.
Yeah.
But you start talking about Jesus Christ, and they coming after us.
Yes,
why?
Sir.
Because they know it's right.
Because yes, Jesus Christ is the answer.
Yes, sir.
And they know it. They're not trying to keep it down because they don't believe it. They believe it.
Yes, sir.
They know it. They didn't hang our Savior on the cross because they didn't believe. They hung him on the cross because they knew he was the Son of God.
That's right.
And it was going to change the way they had control over everybody
yes,
on
sir.
Earth. That's why they hung him.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Jesus, he don't want us all sitting on one side, all sitting on the left side. He wants us all come in together. We wear your baseball cap in the church. Wear your baseball cap in there. You wear your cowboy hat, come on in. You wear your flip-flops, come on in. You said it this morning. Nowhere in there did Jesus say, hey, all right, you're going to have church every Sunday, and it's going to look like this. He didn't, did he?
No, he did not.
He preached out of a boat. He preached off a rock.
Yes, sir.
On the side of a mountain, on the side of the road, at a well. We put labels. We put restrictions.
Yeah.
And that's what frustrates us. If we can learn to let all that go, we won't have any frustrations. But I love talking to you, Jamie Vail.
Man, I love being here. I love talking to you too, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, so when we was talking about, you know, when he was talking about the whale, and the thing that I love about that parable is it was a whale sitting on a whale,
mm-hmm.
right? And here it is now. The first thing that the woman says is, "You're a Jew, knowing good and well we have no dealings with one another." There, for to now, today's time, that would have been all that she needed to say to start an argument and for the whole conversation to go left.
Yep.
There, but Jesus said, wait a minute, if you knew who it was that asked you to drink, then he starts this whole conversation with her. There, wins her favor, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the point now to where she locked in now.
Yep.
To where now she's asking him the very thing you say you got something to where I'm not going to thirst again.
That's right.
Yeah. But see, we don't want to love on people to that point. We're always at a place of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Always thinking that somebody going to have one up on us or somebody's going to do something or say something that's going to belittle us to where now we got to defend now our pride or our masculinity and all of this foolery to where, you know, like we read in the text this morning, Jesus said, I kicked all of that stuff out of the way.
He did.
It was me not giving in to what I want, what I feel, what I thought. There, me kicking that whole my whole reputation, me staying humble, me staying, you know, in that place. There, that's why my Father was able to elevate me to that highest place up there, to where my name is above all names.
Yep.
There, and so but we want to be elevated by man. We want to be patted on our back by man. We want to be pleasing in man's eyes and things like that. And Jesus was like, God's like, you know, what about me? You know, what about me? You just walked right past that person right there in the store, and they spoke to you, and you just turned your nose up at them.
Mm-hmm.
There, you just walked right past that. You felt the unction of the Holy Spirit telling you to just stop and just to speak to them, just to shake their hand, just to do, you know, whatever the case may be. There, and we think that the God can't move in moments like that. I was at Home Depot one day. I think I shared this with you guys one time before. And I'm talking about this guy, man. He was big old guy, man. Big white guy. He was tatted up, you know. And I saw him, and I'm like, man, I ain't finna make eye contact with that joker there, man. That joker, I mean, he was big. Holy Spirit said, go shake his hand.
Yep. You can't stop that.
Surely I didn't hear that correctly, so I just kept right on walking. And I don't walk down. He was done walking like he was fixing to go on, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone. I didn't have no peace, and so I stopped and I turned around. I said, excuse me, sir. He turned around. You know, he was, just, you know, when he turned around, I said, I just wanted to shake a good man's hand. And I shook his hand. And he just stood there, man. He looked down at me because that's all he could do, man, because he was about 6'6". I mean, he was a big guy. And he just looked down at me, man. And you could just feel, man, just the breaking. Like, dang, like, big as I am, you know, people don't see me. And he just pulled me to him, right?
Yeah.
And, man, we sitting out there in the parking lot, man. He hugging me, I'm hugging him, man. And both of us standing up there like two big babies, man, you know. And I'm like, all of this from, you know.
Yep.
So I'm standing up there like, you know, Lord, forgive me. You know, just, Lord, forgive me, because I saw the tattoos. I saw this big guy and all of this. And I'm like, man, what is wrong with him? And I begin to just to judge this gentleman there. And the Holy Spirit convicted me right there in that moment, right? And then now, you know, he went and got something out of his car. And we just constantly passing each other by, you know, in the store. And you know, he's speaking to me. I'm speaking to him now, you know. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I'm like, man. You know, Lord. And so I leave, I check out. I sit in the parking lot of the store of Home Depot there for another 20, 30 minutes just praying and just asking, you know, God for his forgiveness. And from that day, you know, to this one, man, it changed my whole perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, about people, period.
Yep.
There. And I don't care if they tattooed, got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, holding a fifth of gin or whatever it is. There, you know, the fact that they're still breathing is telltale sign for me that God still got to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and if God showed me grace, you know, and saved me, you know, why do I feel like he can't do the same for them?
Right.
You know.
And how many people have you touched since you've been saved? Just think how many people that person might touch when they get saved.
Yes.
That so one seed could touch me.
That's right.
Yeah.
It goes back to the seed parable.
I was watching the news. And they
bless
was,
you.
They was talking about. Well, they you have to watch the news. If you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you watch the news, you're misinformed. And so, you know, you just have to balance it out. You know?
Sometimes now.
And they was talking about, it was this farm, it's a peach farm. I forget where it was, somewhere here in Georgia. And there was the farmer was, he was bothered because his crop this year, because of the weather and this, that, and other, his crop was almost cut in half, right? You know, just because of the weather. And I was sitting there, I was just thinking about it. I was like, man, that's pretty tough there, you know, how the weather can, you know, just change the production, you know, of a tree, how? And I'm sitting there just thinking about, like, man, like God, why would you allow the weather that I had to think about that thing? It ain't you.
That's right.
There, this is man doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, you know, this farmer and how he's concerned that his crop's not going to yield there. And so that speaks to his livelihood, you know. And I'm almost certain he had a family and employees and all of these things here. And I'm thinking about, you know, this here, and I'm like, man, the enemy don't care nothing about you. The enemy don't care nothing about you. As long as the enemy can capitalize, you know, off of whatever it's doing, it's fine. Don't care what happened to you or anybody that's connected to you there. And I was just beginning to think about those trees, the peach trees, and I just think about the word of God to say we are to be like trees that's planted by the rivers of living water that yield forth its fruit in due season. And I'm like, man, if we're planted by God, by that living water, it doesn't matter what man do to the weather, we're still supposed to produce.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't produce because we won't stay planted.
Mm-hmm.
And
we can't become uprooted.
Yeah,
we uproot ourselves.
Yeah, we'll uproot ourselves because of circumstances and the weights of this world and everything that's happened. And then when we exhaust all of our abilities and strength, then now we want to, Lord, help me, save me now.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll do just like God do. He'll come save you. But then you're like, okay, he saved me, but now he's just a savior to you. Mm-hmm. You won't go any further than him saving you. And so you become frustrated now because you hear about all the blessings and all the benefits and all the great things that you can have and he can give you and he can bless you with there, but you won't grow in him to those things manifest. And it's a frustrating thing. It's a frustrating thing. You know, even for me, like for me and my, you know, myself, man, I've been, he's had me on this place to where, man, he has been pruning me.
I agree to that. He's man, been pruning you.
And when I tell you, this has been the most hurtful, trying and difficult time of my life, but it's so rewarding, man.
Yep.
And I just take it as, you know, as he brings it to me. And giving up has never been an option, you know, for me. Quitting, you know, I done tried to throw in the towel, but he threw it back at me. So, and so I just, you know, I said, okay, God, you know, so if I'm gonna have to endure this, and that's where we are right now in this place that we're in right now, is, you know, there was a season in time to where God was just snatching people out of stuff. There, that season's gone.
Uncertain.
That season is gone. There, he's letting you stay in that thing now. He's letting you wallow in it now. He's letting you feel those pains of it, mm-hmm. of it now. There, but the beautiful thing is, he said, you know, if you make your bed in hell, I'm gonna be right there with you. Mm-hmm. There, and so many people are making their bed in hell, thinking they're escaping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pressures and the weights. And he's like, no, it's still here. It's still, no, you're still gonna feel it right here wherever you are. There, I don't care where you go, it's still going to be right here for you. And that's why so many people are falling out with, you know, with the church, talking about church hurt and just running away from the gospel. And they're turning to these other little g gods, mm-hmm. and talking about the universe and talking about the stars and talking about all these other things.
How
and
far the stars are away from us,
yeah.
And making him seem like he's way out there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That I just can't understand how you can worship something that was made by my God.
That's true. I
you know,
we're not. There's so many. It goes back to people leaning on their own understanding. There's so much of it. Even in the Bible, it says you're not going to understand it.
No.
I don't spend. I've got friends that they study. They study the Bible. That's great. I'm not knocking them for that. I don't dive off into the deep waters of the Bible. I don't need to. I believe in God. I believe in what Jesus said. That's all. That's good enough for me. There's other people. They got to dive off and stay in it. Kind of like, they tell me they want, so that they can argue back with somebody that wants to argue about it. Man, I'll never win an argument with somebody, and I'm never going to change your mind about something if me and you are arguing about it. Okay? Not going to happen. Only way I can change your mind about something is by living it.
That's exactly right.
By living it. Sometimes I wonder if people dive off into this stuff because they're trying to lean into their own understanding.
Mm-hmm. People to say, support well, their own
What do you think about this? Well, I'll tell you what I think about it, but you need to read it for yourself, and you need to understand it for yourself. And pray, because the Holy Spirit will share with you what you need to know about that. David ain't going to be that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy. Right? Yeah. David Pollack got fired this week, right?
I didn't know that.
From ESPN. And there's, you know, a lot of people are Georgia fans. He played for Georgia. He was an analyst for ESPN. And he got fired, which a lot of other analysts got fired. Something's going on at ESPN. So they had to let a lot of people go. Okay. David Pollack played at Georgia. Got hurt in the NFL, so he didn't get finished. But he was a great analyst, in my opinion. Everybody wanted David to say something bad. They blew him up on social media. David comes out. He goes, "Man, I'm excited to see what God has for me."
Yeah. He broke them.
And it's like
he broke their feelings.
He's like riding the wave because they're blowing it up on social media. David Pollack, David Pollack, David Pollack. I'm excited to see what God has next for me. It goes down. They quit talking about David Pollack.
Yeah. You know?
But I was like, what a message,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What a message. Because, you know, some of us, we can preach. You can preach to a million people at one time. But he preached to several million people right there.
Yeah, just, he did.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, he was smiling. Yeah, he said, "I appreciate ESPN. You know, enjoyed working with them." I was like,
he's the man. Well, he's the man. Right
but it's
now.
Everywhere. There's Christians everywhere.
They it? Are.
But I'm just using him. He's nothing. You know?
But the more influential people need to step up and take that and use their boldness in the spirit to do that.
Well, we can't let people get us excited and tell us you should be mad about this. You know what I'm saying?
That's what they do.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly what
that was awesome to me. When I saw that, I was like, man, that's all. That's great.
Yeah. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, you know?
Yeah.
And so he did just that.
That's right.
There. I had
the Holy Spirit's moving right here because me and you just had a conversation about what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Just at lunch. Did we not? Talking about that thief on the cross.
Yes, sir.
We got to quit doing the deep dives and understand it like the thief
That's
did.
Right.
And I don't want you to think. It's great for people to study their Bible. That's awesome.
But understand it in the way that he wants you to understand it in your season.
Yeah.
The season that you're in, you need to understand what he's telling you.
Yeah.
Is it always necessary to do a deep dive?
Nope.
And you need to understand that you're not going to understand. I mean, it clearly says that, right?
That is it, right? That you hit the nail on the head right there. And when you talk about the Word of God, there, you can take the same scripture today. Mm-hmm. There, the Holy Spirit bring it back to your remembrance tomorrow and show you something totally different.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
In it, and so. You know, I don't knock the theologians. That I don't knock any of them. That's not how he uses me. There, mm-hmm. if I, you know, the people that I talk to, the big words frighten them. You know,
right.
And then they scratching their heads and like, what does that mean? And this, that, and the other. No, he allowed me to take my life and paint on the canvases of the hearts of people.
Right
there. I don't try to sugarcoat anything. I don't try to puff anything up. Hey, this is just how this is it. This is how God uses me. Now, if you need the big words, that's not how He uses me.
Right.
There, when I'm studying, sometimes I will have to go in and get the Hebrew meaning, the Greek meaning, but that's just for me, so I can get a better, you know, understanding of what's
mature,
going on.
Right, like you said earlier, maturing.
There, but as far as to preach, no, that's not it for me. And you want to argue with me in the Word of God, you win.
That's right.
You win. There. Had someone ask me, you know, about this whole LGBT, all this whole crap here. What was my opinion? I don't have an opinion.
That's right.
What's the Bible say?
That's exactly right. I said, I don't have an opinion. Mm-hmm. There, me being a kingdom citizen, my opinion have been taken away from me. So I don't have an opinion. And so guess what? Now you don't want to have no conversation with me now because you want to be able to back me off in the corner and say what Jamie said. This, there, I don't have an opinion about any of it.
We love them.
And yeah. Absolutely. And we're not better than anybody else.
Yeah. We love them.
We love them. And Jamie said we don't have an opinion.
We don't. Right? You can't. How can you have an opinion and the word of God is true?
Right.
The word of God said that, you know, God's word was established in heaven. There. So when it was established in heaven, that took away my opinion and every believer's opinion about whatever the case may be, because how we should see a thing is written right there that tells us how we're supposed to see it, how we're supposed to view it. There. Mm-hmm. But what we miss, what so many people miss out of that there, they look at people that struggle with their sexuality and things like that there and think that they're supposed to hate them or belittle them and talk about them and this, that, and the other. The Bible says you're supposed to owe no man nothing but to love them. Mm-hmm. There. If your Jesus, if your God is so strong and so powerful, there, what in the world make you think that he can't prick their hearts with you loving on them?
Mm-hmm.
You showing kindness toward them. There, that's just how powerful he is. There, but ain't nobody want to. Don't nobody want to love on the drunk, the drug dealer. You know, the homosexual. Ain't nobody want to love on them because they like, oh, that's nasty. You know better than that. And that's a sickness. There's an illness. Mm-hmm. And
he works on us all differently. Yeah, I'm being used. In situations in that same area.
Yeah.
And it's making a difference.
Yeah.
You're not a regular Christian.
Yeah.
Why you say that? Well, you're not telling me what I got to do and what I need to do. That's not my job. My job's to love you.
That's right.
Man.
Blew her mind.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about totally different respect that she has an outlook.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Yes, sir.
Seeds are planted.
That's right. One plant, one water, then God's gonna bring that increase.
Mm-hmm.
There. And see what we got to be better at is while you planting there is the next person that she comes across that's claiming to be Christ-like, right? Mm-hmm. There, you know, they got to be right there loving too. And that's where, you know.
Or she might have to straighten them out.
Yeah. You know, you loving, and then here come the next believer over there beating her up and this, that, and the other. Then now she confused. Okay, do I receive the love from Michael, or is this what this is? And she's used to the darkness. And so that's where we're losing the people at right there.
She got to spend a lot more time with me than them others.
Yeah.
She works with me.
Yeah, okay. And so you got time to really love on her, though.
That's we spend more time at work than we do at home.
Yeah. And so that's a beautiful thing right there, man. Beautiful, beautiful thing there, man. What else y'all want to touch on?
We at the 59-minute mark.
That's amazing.
Ain't it?
Really?
That's the way it happens.
Oh, wow.
And we wasn't controlling this conversation, you know.
We wouldn't know how to control a conversation.
I didn't. I told him I didn't have no notes for today. So,
do we ever have notes?
Yeah, I do.
You try to, but
I can break some out if you want to go for another hour.
Man, I go as long as y'all want to go. Man, I love talking about the Lord, man. But
no, I appreciate you coming.
But man, that service this morning though, man, it was just beautiful.
Yeah,
it was. I could have just stayed there, just in this atmosphere, man. Just the rest of the day, man. It was just a beautiful, beautiful just atmosphere. And man, God was here today.
Yeah.
And you know, you look around the sanctuary, man, and you see people just weeping, and I'm like,
wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm doing a positive word up here.
I'm just encouraging. So, you know.
And what, you know, everybody knows about half our regular congregation was gone today. And I, in my heart, I'm glad that they're on vacation and having family time. We would have been packed because we had that many guests come to be with us. And I'm excited about it because what I'm seeing, Jamie, is I'm seeing you coming back to here, to this area. I'm seeing a lot more people being touched by you. Yeah. God's using you, and it's obvious, and it's exciting to see. And on behalf of the podcast team, we want you to know that we're here at your disposal. If you ever need us.
He already knows that.
Reinforcing
it.
Yeah, right. That's one thing there that I know deep in my heart that you guys are there, you know, in whatever facet it is there. And when I tell you that's so valuable to me. There is so valuable. You know, to me, and I just give God praise. I pray about it all the time, just telling, God, thank you. There, because I can come home and just be at home, you know. And I'm not talking about just coming to preach. I can just come and sit anywhere.
That's right.
You know, and just be at home and just be loved on. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's not normal. You know, it's not a normal thing.
It should be though.
That's what we're pushing to be.
That's what I was just about to say. It's not a normal thing, but why is that?
But
why is that? You know, and I'm telling people about, you know, where I'm preaching at. That's a white church, ain't it? and my response is, I think the walls on the inside of the church are. I can't remember what the outside of the church was.
Kind of a peach. There,
you know, I don't. That's not me. No, don't. If you want to ask me about a church, then let's talk about the Spirit of God that's there.
The first two or three folks that showed up this morning, I was in here messing around with the music and all. Am I at the right place?
Yeah.
Didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they come in and got a message this morning. And even if it was just that as the message,
that's right.
We've done our job.
That's right. And they asked me when I'm telling them, they were like, I don't know of that church there. I was like, yeah, when you turn down that road there, it's down there on the left. They got a sign out there by the road. It's Journey gonna be real big on the church there. And they, I don't know nothing about that. I've never heard of that church right there. Well, you're hearing about it now.
That's right.
And so I don't get into that black church, white church thing. Right. There, I don't, because that you don't read about it in text.
Mm-mm.
There, you know, he said he's coming back for his bride, his church, upon this rock, Peter.
Yep.
I'm going to build my church. It ain't but one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There, it ain't but one. And that one's going to be without spot or wrinkle.
Yep.
There. And that's the message, man. That's the message that I try to get people to really see that, you know, it ain't but one church.
Well, I believe that was our intent, or what he had intended for us way back in the high school, middle school, grade school days. Yeah. Me, you, Fino, Brad Bailey, Tommy, you know, all of us that hung out together, we were brothers.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody separate us. They couldn't change their mind about us. We went into conversations where we wasn't supposed to be in the auditorium trying to figure out why these other people's having problems. Well, why are y'all here? Well, we going to be part of the solution is what we were thinking.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember that.
Yeah.
These big gang wars that they were trying to start back in high school days, that was the most devil. Ridiculous thing.
I mean, it's always, but see that to the well. The Jews, they wasn't supposed to be talking. You see, nothing's new under the sun.
Nothing.
Satan's right. used all of that for thousands of years. Yeah. I mean,
division.
Didn't you think mankind would have, I don't know. It's just,
some can't wrap their minds around it.
Yeah. I'm one of them. I can't wrap my mind around it.
This, my bishop, he does this. He got a thing called the Unified Worship up in Atlanta.
Tell us who your bishop is.
Bishop Moses Swanson.
Okay, who's Bishop Moses Swanson to you?
He's my daddy. That's my father-in-law. That's my wife's dad.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
And your wife.
Yeah.
Give her some praise.
My wife. Oh, that's my rock right there. Yeah. You know, LaParish Vale. You know, she's been, when I got saved, she got saved with me. You know, when God called me, he called my whole family.
I think you told me that the whole family stood up there.
The whole family once, did.
When you caught yourself at the front.
Yes, sir. Me, my wife, and, you know, my kids. My son, he was knee-high to a June bug there, but he was wrapped around my leg. And
the whole family was up,
you know,
there.
And we came up, and I told my pastor, I said, I don't know nothing about what I'm up here for. There, I said, but I just felt a tugging. And I want to join this ministry. And I want to learn. I really want to learn about this Jesus thing. For real. There, I got saved before, but it wasn't for real.
Right.
There, but when I got saved this last time, it was for real. And I've experienced some things that it was like, wow, man. One time I felt the presence of God. It felt like somebody was shaking my clothes, mm-hmm. right? And I'm asking people, do y'all not see my clothes shaking? They're like, what are you talking about? There, just clothes. Just another time it felt like I was on fire. And all I can do is just holler. Just, woo. And my bishop said, he said that was the anointing that you was feeling. That's why I was feeling. And it was just felt like running, hot water just running. And I'm new in this thing, right? And so I'm like, man, these be free. God need to tell a brother, you know, when he gonna, you know, when he gonna do these things here, because you know, making them happen. The brother looking like a little punk up here in front of all these people, but you know, but it was good, man. And you know, to touch a little bit on that mess that I was trying to get going, man, the relationship that we've had, always had, man, that have helped me through. Remember a couple of years ago when there was this cop killing black people, when this whole, when it was just bad, man. And the relationship that we've always had helped me to be able to, because I can't identify, I can't relate, you know, to what y'all talking about there. And so, you know, they talking about the white man this, the black man that. And I can't relate to that. You know, I'm like, well, okay. Well, that's your experience. That's not mine there, because I know I can go this way, I can go that way, I can go wherever, and I can sit right there at the table and eat, you know, as much as I want, you know, and go in there and lay down if I need to. And so it's the people that haven't had those kind of experiences and having nobody to disciple them, there is where so much of this ruckus is continuing. Mm-hmm. And it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing. Because I would have never thought that I would be having the same conversations with my son, you know, about racism and things like that my parents had to have, you know, with me. But I'm like, I don't have the testimonies that so many people have, you know, from this. There, we had that stuff that happened back then, there, but it was never,
right?
You know, and I'm like, what? You know, I don't understand this. There, you know, they'll try to make you form a whole different viewing of people. There, y'all need to be careful going out there with Michael them and this, that, and the other, and whatever the case may be. For what? If anybody gonna bother me out there with Michael them, there, do know that Michael them gonna act up just like we are, you know.
That's right.
And so that's me and Fino and Brad. We never had that. That was never a thing for us. There, and so when we have unified worship up there, man, this is a frustrating thing, man. Frustrating thing. We had a service up there, man. We had a Spanish pastor there, and then we had a white gentleman. I'm sorry, I didn't mean no disrespect. white pastor. He started it off right there. He brought his congregation. He spoke the first night, brought his congregation, and the other supporting churches in the community in Douglasville showed up, right? The sanctuary, the church that we had doing it, seats about 500, packed it out. It's the first night, packed it out. There, the next night, the Spanish pastor spoke, and then the last night, African pastor spoke there. We were so concerned about parking and about people that second night, to where they had a softball field off over it, but they had the lights was messed up or something. So we went and rented the big lights to be over the roads out there so we can start parking cars and stuff there, right? Came back the next night, it was maybe 100 people there. The only people there that didn't look like me was the Spanish pastor, his wife, and two of his members. Mm. The next night, everybody in there looked like me. And I'm like, what's unified about this?
Right.
You know, that's the task. That's the struggle that we have. Mm-hmm. And it's all the time.
We see it. I mean, I there's all these lines, right? We see that in our community where one church, they don't associate with another church. Not colors. They're the same color.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with it. It's more like they don't want to go outside what they consider their church. I've had friends say to me, I'm very active in my church, in your church. Well, Jesus' church, and that's where the lines are. We've got to stop viewing it as our church.
Yeah.
And start viewing it as Jesus' church.
Yeah.
And what y'all doing in Douglasville, don't get discouraged, man. Like I said, just one.
Yeah.
I know that is a discouraging thing, and we can get discouraged. Don't let it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Keep fighting. You're fighting the good cause, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
he didn't say it was going to be easy.
No, he didn't.
No.
He just said we'd be saved.
And so, you know, like yesterday they had the back to school event here, you know, with the kids there in Patterson. There, and I'm sitting out there, and I tell my cousin, I said, this isn't good.
Who put that on?
Nikki Cooper.
So, okay, I didn't know anything about it. Okay.
No, a lot of people didn't. And that's what I told her yesterday. I said, we're not doing this like this next year. There, I said, because if we're going to be the body of Christ, there, I said, I even take full run on this thing here. Everybody needs to know about this. And there. And this is the thing this is what happened. This is where she got discouraged at, because she wasn't going to do it. Then when she first started putting it together, she went to the newspaper here in Blackshear, newspaper in Waycross, over there just trying to get some kind of whatever, and they wouldn't even touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Week before last, there, Georgia, Miss Georgia, 2023, there, contacted Nikki and told them, hey, you know, we want to be a part of it. Now everybody wants to, oh, we're going to send reporters, we're going to send this, we're going to send that. You know, and I'm like, and so it's stuff like, and so she was so discouraged, because when she first started out doing it there, man, she was getting, man, on every turn. On every turn with trying to put the parade together, trying to get escorts with police, and trying to get the fire, just trying to, on every turn, until it got to a point to where she was like, you know what, this is too much. Yeah, but she went head on and did it. And so when she started out really advertising and doing stuff there, but then she just kind of, but I told her, you know, we'll do it next year. Everybody will get involved. Everybody will know.
There's supposed to be another one coming up soon. We are part of a group that is supposed to be putting one on the end of July. You know, we hadn't got any more word about who's supposed to be doing it, what, you know, when it is and stuff like that. We got a lot of big plans, big people that like to plan, but we don't follow through.
Yeah.
We've got to finish the drill. We've got to finish doing what we set out to do. I'm not talking at you. I want you to understand that.
I'm going to get back to Nikki Cooper.
I want to be a part of that, yes, and I want her to come be a part of this, and we can make it something.
Okay.
He's trying to figure out Nikki.
No, she's living here?
She lives in Perry.
In Perry?
Yeah.
I was thinking, I haven't seen Nikki in a long time. Yeah. Long time. But she lives in Perry. I had no idea. I can say the same thing about Nikki Cooper. Everything I said about Jamie Vail, first time I met Nikki, because me and her are the same age, and as long as I've known Nikki Cooper, she's sweet. I mean, just a sweet, sweet soul, smile. I mean, man, I'd love to see Nikki Cooper now. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, she's there, man. She loves kids, man, and she's trying to get some things going in the community. There, I mentioned to her, she saw the post that I put up about, you know, the unified worship thing there. And so we're looking right now, and I was going to talk to y'all, but it's on my brain now, so I mentioned it now. We're trying to target July 6th, 2024, for the grand big thing that we're wanting to do there, but we're going to do some other things in the interim coming up to that day. And we'll have all the logistics kind of ironed out yet, but we're going to work on those.
When does school go back in?
There.
This year?
I don't know.
In August.
I don't know. So the last weekend in July, we need to have a day of prayer. We need to have a prayer walk around every one of the schools here in Pierce County.
They usually do.
Well, we need to call that date. I mean, somebody needs to start something, and it needs to get out there where everybody knows about it. We need to have certain people in Patterson. We need to have them in Blackshear. We need to have them out here in the county. You know, this kind of stuff. The division is
crazy.
That's what bothers me. Yeah. It really does. It hurts, because that's not who we're supposed to be.
Right.
The churches have to get together.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about the pastors. I'm talking about the congregations.
Right.
The pastors can do whatever the heck they want to.
Yeah.
But people on the street that's part of a congregation, they need to get involved.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about getting involved with your church. No, I'm talking about getting involved with Jesus's church.
Yeah.
And they need to start doing something now.
Yeah.
And if y'all can hate me all you want to for saying what I'm saying, but I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yep. Yep.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so let's look at those dates, and man, let's have this prayer walk. And we can definitely do it. because it's definitely needed, man. It is so needed until the world can start seeing the church working together. There, it ain't gonna get any better. There it is. Always that division is gonna continue to be there. Everybody's still gonna have the same mindset of my church, my church, my church, and not Jesus' church. There, and everybody, you know, they have their own agenda, you know, and it's crazy.
My exercise routine the past few months has been, I've been going down to Midway Church or Midway School, and I use their asphalt as a walking track, you know, just walking, and that's where I do my praying, and it gives me an opportunity to pray over that church or that school, because that's where so many young lives are started, so many directions, you know,
right?
Kids get pointed in directions there, but we've got to start making sure that we're praying over those schools for the right direction.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there's bad, that all the teachers are bad there or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the good Lord can help you go a little bit further.
That's right.
He'll help you say what you need to say to impact that kid's life or a troubled kid's life or even a kid that's in a good household that's got it made might need some direction
right
towards God. So I said what I said.
Amen.
Hey.
But anyway, we've been on here for an hour and 21 minutes. This could be part one. Well, 1.5, because we did this once before with Jamie and it didn't go very well. But you know, we welcome you back anytime you want to come, Jamie. You're our brother, mm-hmm. not just in Christ. You're a family. We welcome your family here. We'll do whatever it takes to get you here. You know, if you need to get home, if you need somebody to go talk to somebody and you can't get here in time, you call.
I know that. I will do that.
And we'll go talk.
I will do that.
Until you can get here.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you being there for me.
Oh, yeah.
And my son and his friends, because you know you made a difference.
Yeah, well, we give God praise, man. I'm just glad, you know, that I was in the right place, you know, because, you know, we got to be there for one another. We got to be there for one another, and we have to be there not to judge but to love on our brothers and our sisters and on our brothers and sisters' kids and however it happened. There, you know, we have to be there to love on them. But the problem is we don't know our brothers and sisters. We don't know our nieces and nephews. We don't know who's who.
That's right.
There, and so, you know, we got to do something about that. That we have to be the ones to do something about that. That we have to be the ones to say, hey, you see that person right there? Yeah, that's David right there. Let me tell you who David is. That's Michael. Let me tell you who Michael is. There, because, you know, we never know when we need to. They're like the gentleman that's in the group with us that was coming up to Atlanta. He was going to the doctor or whatever the case may be. And I was like, yeah, if you're up here in Atlanta, you need somebody to get to you. You know, you just call me, right?
Right.
And I was like, okay, I meant that. If you're up here and you need to call me, I'm stopping what I'm doing. I'm coming to wherever you are. And it needs to be like that. There to where, you know, we don't have to worry about it. There, because the kingdom, every single thing that we need is in the kingdom, right? And if the Bible says, you know, that if the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, okay, then we part of those eyes there. And so I don't have to worry about, you know, coming home to Patterson if I need somebody to go check on my mom and dad. If I can't get none of my brother or sister, hey, well, let me see what MC doing. Let me see what David doing. Hey, David, can you just stop by and just check on my mom and dad? But just to make sure they're good, and I can do that there. And that's just a beautiful thing about it. And that's the point that we have to get to, you know, as a community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there. And, you know, we talk about it takes a village. It takes a village. Well, the village is one-sided right now. And missing a whole lot of family part, you know, that's in that in part of that village there. But it's going to take us to, we're going to have to be the ones that's going to have to bring that village together. We're going to have to be the ones to set the tempo and set the tone. But even not only for this family, but for all the families around, because, you know, we're one. You know, we're one.
We're supposed to be one anyway.
And and that's where it has to start with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but let's look at the calendar, though. I would love to, you know, just walk around or drive around or however we need to do it, get a horse and buggy and go from school to school.
I hear you.
You know, whatever we need to do, man, but let's do it.
I got out of the horse business.
Oh, man, I want me a horse.
We'll put together, we'll have something on a date pretty soon. I guess I've been led to say that we're going to do it, so we're going to do it.
Let's do it.
I'll take the reins.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for the positivity and the positive message that Jamie brought to us today. We thank you for allowing us to come together to be a family, you know, your family. Lord, bless each and every one that's out there traveling on vacation. Keep them safe. And let the words that we spoke today reach someone's ears that needed it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.